Let us open our time of prayer. Our God and our Father, as we come now to hearing from your word, as we look at Jesus' power over the darkness, Jesus' power over the spiritual realm, we do pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that we would hear the wonders and the glory of Christ and that we would be captured by him. Oh Lord, may we see the light today and may we love the Lord Jesus. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, it's pretty plain that people throughout the ages and even down to today have always been intrigued by the spiritual realm. We see this evidence just by watching TV or seeing the latest movies. It always seems to have a horror theme with ghosts and ghouls and demons and the supernatural all playing a leading role. And I think one of the reasons that society and humanity in general has a desire and an interest in the spiritual realm is because we are all designed to be spiritual people. We were all created to be spiritual, not just to live in the here and now in the natural realm, but to understand spiritual things. We are a spiritual people with spiritual questions. But when those questions arise, it is very easy for us, and so often we do, we go off and we look for answers in all the wrong places. I've noticed as I've got to know Newquay better is that when I've walked around and met different people and seen different shops, that there is a strong focus, even in this community, on spiritual issues. There are people advertising and promising that if you pay them enough money, then they'll be able to call up your dead ancestor. If you give them enough money, they can look at some playing cards and they'll be able to tell you the future. If you just ask them nicely and open your wallet, they'll say, we can look at the stars, we can look at the spirits, and we'll be able to give you an answer for the future. That's what we see quite commonly, even in our community. And constantly, if you look at the news, especially local news, you'll see websites such as Cornwall Live run articles repeatedly about the most haunted and most spiritual places in Cornwall, encouraging people to go out and look into the spiritual realm. But what people don't realize is that by delving into the spiritual realm, by looking for spiritual answers in the wrong places, can actually be quite dangerous to the soul. It can be actually quite soul destroying. And this morning, what I want to do is draw your attention to Mark chapter 5 and see the true account of when Jesus dealt with the spiritual realm. And what we see in Mark chapter 5 is that Jesus and his disciples have gotten into a boat and they've sailed across a lake. Now, all indications is that they had no reason to go across this lake except for this encounter that we will see in Mark chapter 5. And they cross the lake and they get to the other side, and as soon as they get off the boat, we are told in the text that immediately a man who had delved into the spiritual realm and was suffering the consequences of it came running down to meet them. So they've got out of the boat, and here comes this man, a man that we know from later on was naked. A crazy man, a man who almost seemed out of his mind, come running to Jesus and the disciples. In fact, the Bible tells us that this man was a man with an unclean spirit who had been dwelling among the tombs. So picture the scene. Here is a graveyard on the side of a lake. Jesus and the disciples arrive. They hop out of the boat. And all of a sudden, this man who had been living amongst the tombs rushes down to the shoreline. This man had lived among dead people. He'd been living in the graveyard. He had had dead people as his companion. This is a horror story waiting to happen. Now, the reason this man lived in the tombs, and when we think of the tombs, don't think of the graveyards that we see today, nice graveyards with some green grass and some flowers. No, they were quite barren and open places, very rocky, very harsh terrain. The reason he lived in that area is because the Bible tells us that he had been possessed by an unclean spirit. That is, he had been possessed by a demon. He had given himself over to the darkness, and he had delved into the spiritual realm and embraced a spiritual realm that was dangerous. So this man had given himself over to a life that was being lived in opposition to what God had said. God says we shouldn't pursue the darkness. God says we don't pursue the demonic. We don't pursue devils. Instead, we are to pursue him. We are to pursue the light. We are to come to him and love him. But this man didn't do that. He went for the darkness. He went for the demons, and he got power from the demons. We know how powerful this man was because the text says no one could bind him, not even with chains. He had been bound with shackles. He had bound with chains. And what he did is he snapped those chains. He snapped those shackles. This man had a supernatural strength. He would have been the terror of the community. And we are told that night and day he lived in the mountains and he lived in the tombs, and he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Now, this cutting with stones was not just some sort of body art or changing of the image. It was actually an act of worship. Throughout the Old Testament, you see, when they worshipped the demonic realm, the priests or those who worship would cut themselves and think that their blood would enact power and give them more greatness amongst the people. So this man who is possessed by a devil, who is powerful, who the people of the community feared, who has the run of the place, encounters Jesus. And all of a sudden, we see that he's not that powerful at all. For when he sees Jesus, everything changes. In fact, we see from our text that the demonic realm inside of him, they are terrified. They realize that Jesus has power over the spiritual realm. They realize that Jesus has power over the demonic. Christ has gone out of his way to meet this man. Christ has gone out of his way to show his power over the spiritual realm. So he meets the man. And the man falls down before Jesus, and the Bible says he worships. Actually, it doesn't say that at all. It says it's the demons who do this. It's the demons who control this man. They cause this man to fall down, and they worship. So even the darkness, even the spiritual realm that people pursue, thinking will give them power, has to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devils who tormented this man were scared of Christ because Christ is the God who conquers. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was manifested. He came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. So the demons are terrified. They come to Jesus and they beg that Jesus not torment them. Instead, what Jesus does, he casts them out and the demons come out of this man, and this man has been set free from the darkness. And our Bible tells us that this man went from being one who was wild and crazy and naked and living amongst the tombs to being a man who was clothed, a man who was sane, a man who was in his right mind, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, when he was set free from Jesus by Jesus, couldn't contain himself. He had to tell everyone about what Christ had done for him. Now the question is, as we read this true story, as we read this account of Jesus interacting with the man and casting the devils out, the question we have to ask is so what? How does it apply to me? What's the gospel application for you and I today? Well, the first thing I want you to get from the text is this, that the spiritual realm, no matter how mighty it might present itself as, no matter how powerful the darkness may say it is, must bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. It must submit to Christ. No demon, no devil has more power than Jesus. Jesus is greater than all. They tremble at his name. Second, I want you to see that no one is too bad for Jesus to rescue. This man had given himself completely over to the darkness. He had embraced the demonic realm. He's not the sort of person you'd expect to see show up at church on a Sunday. Yet Jesus goes to this man and he rescues him. Jesus shows compassion upon him. He loves him. He cares for a man that society had tried to give up upon. Jesus loves him. He sets him free and he forgives of all his sins. So this tells us that nothing is too hard for Jesus. By human standards, this man had done so many wrong things, we would say there was no hope for him. But Christ comes along and says there's hope for sinners. There's hope for people no matter what they have done. Jesus speaks and he sets people free. And what we need to realize is that while we may not be possessed by devils, while we may not have the demonic realm in us, we too have, but we have given ourselves over to darkness. See, this man was demon-possessed and in the kingdom of darkness. While we may not be demon-possessed, we are all naturally in the kingdom of darkness. And we show that we're in the kingdom of darkness by the fact that we do our own thing and we rebel against God. God, who is light, demands perfection, but so often we run the other way. We flee from the light. We want nothing to do with the light. And because of our sin, the Bible says that we will face judgment. But what we see is Christ coming to rescue those who are in the darkness. Christ steps down out of the glories of heaven. He comes to this earth and he comes and dwells amongst us in order to defeat the kingdom of darkness, to defeat the darkness within us, to defeat our sin. And what Jesus does is he goes to the cross to set his people free. He is crucified, dead and buried, and 3 days later he rises again. And now because Jesus has done all that, he can say to the darkness in you, no matter what that darkness is, no matter what sin you've committed, if you would repent, that is, turn from your sins and trust in Christ, you'd be forgiven. You'd be set free. You'd no longer be a slave to sin. See, Christ set this man free, and he can set us free no matter what we have done. We can be forgiven no matter what sins we have committed, all because of the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross and who rose again from the dead. But what do we do with that information? Well, the Bible says we must come to Jesus. We must repent of our sin. We must trust only in him, asking him to forgive us. Would you do that today? Would you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has power over the spiritual realm, the one who has power over demons, the one who has power over the darkness? Would you come to the Lord Jesus Christ saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, rescue me. That's a question only you can answer. I can't answer that for you. This man, this wild man, well, he had to personally come to Jesus. And you do as well. You must personally come to Christ and say, Christ, I need you to rescue me. So today, look to Jesus Christ, the one who has power over the darkness. Come to him and embrace him as the only Savior. Let's pray together. Oh, our God and our Savior, we thank you that you have power over all things, that you are sovereign, that even the strongest, darkest spiritual realm has nothing against you, that you rule and reign over all, that you conquer the darkness. Lord, today we pray your light would shine forth, that all those who hear of Christ and his power over the darkness would look to Jesus and be saved, that they would come to him in repentance and faith, and they'd embrace the light. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.